Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour, episode 32 of season 3, and we're live with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL 2 Guys 1 Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as...
Is there any lag, Rob, on this?
No.
No?
We're good? We're good.
We're all good.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Bit of a meh kind of start to the double game week. I think that goes for probably a lot of people on three hits this week. The disappointing result for Burnley, and then just other players not performing how people expected.
So I mean I've probably come out on the higher end of it.
With my free hit, but there's a lot of people that might not have got the rub of the green like I did with a couple of my picks.
Nice. Well, look, what we'll be doing tonight is we'll go through game week 27 review so far. Obviously, one fixture left to go. We'll then go through a preview for game week 28, and we're going to go through some stats, which we used to a long while ago when we were recording so Rob has put together a great graphic on Newcastle players, because we know that Newcastle, with their double-double, as we're calling it, have got some great fixtures coming up and, you know, are being looked at to bring in, whether or not on a free transfer or a wild card. So we're going to compare some of the players and see which one is the best to own if we are going to go for any. Rob has muted the idea of a potential wild card, so we'll be discussing that and some options on wild card and players to bring in over the next few weeks, finishing off with captaincy. So just to give you guys some heads up, over the next few weeks and probably towards the end of the season, what we're going to be doing is probably going to be doing this weekly episode as a live every week instead. Takes quite a bit of time to render, and Rob's got a lot of work going on with Champ Man and stuff, so it doesn't really have as much time as like he used to. So it's easier for us to put it out as a live and then convert it out to a podcast, which we'll probably be doing every week. Rob, that's right, right?
Yep. Makes my life a lot easier, because we can finish the stream and I can have the audio out like within an hour. Normally if we record, it takes... I think last week we recorded at like 6 PM and I didn't get the video and audio all uploaded till like 11:30 PM. That's how long it all took. So means that you can't fuck up either, which is normally the case when we're pre-recording.
Yeah. or if I do fuck up, everyone will just hear it. So, you know, So, come and join us. You know, if you prefer to watch it live, come and join us every week. It's normally going to be around 7 o'clock, but we'll normally tweet out during the day exactly the time. But likely to be every Monday, potentially some Tuesdays, but normally every Monday. Right. Let's start then with how we are looking so far for game week 27. Rob, you said that you're looking better than most in your free hit. How are you doing?
Probably just about better than most, and that's because I went with a different City midfielder to a lot of people. So got a bit of luck that way. So let's just go through the team. So I've got Pope, as has everyone else. I went Tarkowski over me. Tarkowski getting a yellow card, only one point for him. Everyone had Cancelo. I went Bednarek, which cost me a couple of points. It actually cost me three points because I was going to go with Walker Peters, and I changed my mind at the last minute. I wanted someone that I knew was definitely starting, and we weren't going to get any sort of late team news. All of Friday afternoon, I was chopping and changing between starting Bednarek, Livermento, and Walker Peters. And I picked the one that that got the least points out of the three of them. I mean, you can't complain. It's a six-pointer, isn't it, from Bednarek. So yeah, no problem
No
with that.
problem with that.
Bruno,
Bruno,
3-pointer,
3-pointer,
which
which
should have been a
should have been a
20-pointer.
20-pointer.
With how United played, they just couldn't finish their dinner. Yeah, he could have come out of that game with a hat trick, with some
with
assists
some,
thrown in, because Ronaldo was
exactly
the
same.
The same. Yeah, just neither of them could finish the other day. Mahrez, 1-pointer, which I was disappointed in. I decided to follow Luke Disable, and who was fairly adamant that Mahrez would start,
and
he didn't start, despite his
despite
run of form recently,
form
where
was...
he has performed well. God knows why he didn't start. But yeah, and I managed to get 10 minutes out of him, 15 minutes towards the end of the game. On Saturday evening,
I probably would have
taken him
taken
not coming
him.
On and taken the 3 points from Elanga. I can have a couple of points, would have done. Between Son and Kane, I think everyone, after that first half from Spurs, everyone was thinking this is going to be massive from the two of them. We were out watching it, weren't we, on Saturday lunchtime. And
mm-hmm.
Like to come away from that with just the 20 points from the two of them, I think a lot of people would have felt a bit shortchanged.
Definitely.
Because, it could have easily been, like with Bruno and Ronaldo, it could have been 20 points each, for them. Phil Foden with the return, which was nice. That was my bonus, really. 7-pointer from him. Broglie, 2-pointer, which again could have been more. And then the Weghorst 4-pointer from the captaincy, which was a shocking effective ownership for Weghorst this week. Absolutely crazy. 184%, I think it was, wasn't it? Just absolutely.
I think 158 or something like that.
Oh, 158. I knew there was an 8 in there. But yeah, it's just insane for a. For a Burnley striker,
for a Burnley forward,
A Burnley forward, a side that have scored 22 goals all season or something. He's got another game. It's the game that we're actually probably expecting more out of him, because of how Leicester can deal with him aerially. He's got another game. He needs to outscore Kane, really.
I don't know
right
if you can hear any back. I don't know if you can hear any background noise, but my neighbours downstairs are just deciding to just shout and scream with their kids. I don't know. I can hear it really loudly. I don't know how it's coming through on the audio, but perfect timing during a live recording.
I'm on 56 points, which I think is a good week so far. With Tarkowski, Pope, and Weghorst captain still to play, so hopefully we can get past the 70 point mark. That would be a very good game week, I think. Got myself though up to just outside the top 300k now, so moving in the right direction.
So I'm on 51. I also went the decision of Bednarek because of the security of starts, but obviously had Livramento on the bench. So my free hit team was Pope, me, Bednarek, Cancelo, Mahrez, Sterling, Sancho, Son, Kane, Broglie, and Weghorst. I could afford Bruno, but that would meant that I would have to have Roberts instead of me, and my bench completely downgraded.
You could have had Foden instead of Sterling.
I think I was pretty lucky.
You could have had.
That was on the basis. I wanted Sterling and Mahrez. It turned out actually I was pretty lucky. Lost out only on 2 points. 51 points, only a few points behind you. But then you're 100 points behind me in the league, right? Or more than 100 points. I'll give
still
you
still time, mate. Still time. I've still got that bench boost. That's going to be worth at least 20 points.
4 points.
I'll take 24 points off my bench boost, mate. Considering yours was what, eight?
Nine.
Nine. Your 9 point bench point boost. Bench but, yeah, 100. I think 100 points is, I think it's still doable. It's 10, 11 game weeks to go with lots of doubles in there. So it's, yeah, about getting that plan right, isn't it? My target's still that top 80k, I think I moved, or top 75k, didn't I? I moved it. My target,
yeah, that's what you said.
So, yeah, I think it's still doable. I've moved in the right direction. Like when I said top 75k, I was sitting at 450k, and now I'm at 307k. So, and that was only a week ago. So we're moving in the right direction. We're doing the right things.
So look, we've still got, you know, non-free hitters are kind of like, they're 1-0, I would say, so far. Most of them are probably on about 40-ish points. And you'd take that, wouldn't you? 40-ish points, not used a chip, and most free hitters are on between 50 and 55. So free hitters so far have only gained 15 points. But look, that, you know, we did the free hit mainly because of Burnley and their second game against Leicester, and we've got Vegor's captain, me and Pope still to go. A lot of non-free hitters have got Vegor's captain, but we've got Pope and me, and a lot of them don't. So I wouldn't say it's over yet.
I think a lot of non-free hitters are Leicester fans, aren't they? Like, they just want a Leicester goal.
A goal.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. If Burnley get a clean sheet, then I think free hitters will be winning.
Yeah. Weghorst, I don't think anyone really cares whether he really returns now because of his effective ownership so high. Like, it's going to move you up, but it's not going to move you up massively. But the double Burnley defence that a lot of free hitters have got, that's 12 points 12 minimum, points. Isn't it? And we know that historically, if Burnley keep clean sheets, Nick Pope comes away with bonus, because they aren't an exciting team. If they draw 0-0, the goalkeepers generally get bonus. Both get bonus anyway. Okay. But if Burnley win 1 or 2-0, which is generally the case, Pope comes away with some bonus points just because of the way that they play.
And I guess what we're hoping for is
tomorrow night.
Yeah, and what we're hoping for is, what is it, the phrase they say, can you handle it on a Tuesday night in Stoke? But instead we're going to say, can you handle it on a Tuesday night in Burnley?
Yeah.
And hopefully Leicester can't.
Yeah. I don't think they could handle it on a Tuesday night in Stoke at the moment, to be fair, because they've been pretty dire, haven't they? What's your total then? 50...
So 51, I believe.
51. So I've knocked another 8 points off so far. And then Tarkovsky's going to score tomorrow night. So there's another 6 points.
And he's going to get sent off.
Yeah, that's another 6 points. I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Right, let's look ahead to game week 28 then. And another double game week. Every week is a double game week at the moment. 28 and 29, double game week. And there's a few teams that are doubling. We've got, I can't see the graphics because my eyes are shit. Rob, do you want to tell everyone who's got the doubles this week?
So this week, we have got Aston Villa. Doubling up against Southampton away to Leeds. We've got Leeds, who are away to Leicester and at home to Villa. We've got Newcastle, who are at home to Brighton and away to Southampton. We've got Southampton that are away to Villa and home to Newcastle. Watford, who are at home to Arsenal and away to Wolves. And Wolves, who are at home to Palace and at home to Watford. So, yeah, Wolves with the two home fixtures. I make it statistically that Villa have got the best double game week. I think the one that catches my eye at the moment is the Newcastle. They haven't got the bad double game week in 28. They've got a tougher double game week in 29, but four fixtures for the price of two. Is the key there for me at the moment. Yeah, you're getting an extra
other
4 points
potential that we've got
from
is
the start
the
of
start
before
of
you've even done anything.
yeah the other potential we've got if Chelsea or Norwich progress in the quarterfinals to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup is Chelsea will have a double against Norwich as well.
Yeah,
So at the
so
moment they're just a single game week against Burnley away. They could potentially have a double with a Norwich away added to that, which looks like it's probably going to be the best attractive fixture
yeah,
yeah
I
I
mean
mean
we can see that yeah, the Chelsea
Chelsea
Norwich
Norwich
fixture in
fixture in
30 is
30
rated
is rated
24 for
24
Chelsea, so
Chelsea, so
yeah, the
yeah the
combination for
combination
them
for
is
them
going to
is
be rated 44 in my
in my
fixture tickers, which makes it like that's it's
it's
basically the
basically
per
the
it's
perk
to have a perfect double game week
game week.
for a team. The problem with Chelsea
Chelsea
is they
is
don't
they
have a
don't
Mo
have a
Salah, they don't have a Harry Kane, like a premium, a top premium that you can rely on, Lukaku. I think everyone would be in agreement at the moment. You can't really rely on him. Although yesterday I thought he took his disallowed goal really well yesterday. Like I hate to say it because I don't like the bastard, but yeah, he got unlucky that he was what half an inch offside. And yeah, he turned Matip inside out and put the ball in the back of the net in extra time. But I still
I
wouldn't
still
be
wouldn't be
confident on
confident
him
on
starting two
starting two
games.
games,
Although
although
Tuchel might
Tuchel
go,
might go
right,
right.
yeah, maybe bench him against Burnley and go, right, we're going to Norwich, go out there and
Go out there and show
show everyone
show
what you
everyone
can
what you
do.
can do.
And but then on the other hand, we could have another Mason Mount special from him against Norwich.
Hat trick against Norwich.
Yeah.
That's it. Right, let's first look at Newcastle then, because they've got the double double and we've got some stats up from Newcastle players, and I think this is probably going to be the main priority for most managers, especially those on wild card or free hits. So we thought we'd get some stats up on just to compare them and see who would be best to go for, because it is a bit of a conundrum here, because they seem to all be chipping in a bit. Willock's doing well. Joe Linton scored on the weekend. St. Maximin, we know, is he's just so enjoyable to watch, but he's injured at the moment. Will he play all four games? Probably not. Ryan Fraser's getting into form as well, and then obviously we've got Chris Wood, the 25 million signing that hasn't scored for Newcastle yet. So
It's,
it's really difficult to know who to go for.
I mean, first of all, a couple of
Well, a
months,
couple of
like,
months,
or
like,
even
well, even
6 weeks ago, I don't think anyone would have ever considered any of these assets because Newcastle looked
no.
horrible. But they look a changed team with the players that they've added in, like even Bruno Guimarães when
Guimarães,
when he's come on
he's
for those
come on
little
for those
cameo
little
appearances, he's looked
appearances, he's
good.
looked.
And I don't
And
think
I
we'll
don't
see
think we'll see
much
much.
more. Like, we're not going to see him starting a run of games, I don't think, this season, because I think it's just Eddie Howe's doing
How's
the
that
right
doing
thing
the right
and
thing and
trying to
trying
just
to.
slowly bring him into Premier League football. But, like, I think Chris Wood, like, he hasn't scored, but the way that Newcastle can play with Chris
With
Wood
Chris
there
Wood
up
there
top,
up top.
it benefits all of the other players around him.
Around him.
So we've seen St. Maximin benefit. We've seen Willock benefit. But Willock hadn't scored in, since last season until last week, and now he's got two and two. And Ryan Fraser, who we thought was dead and buried, really wasn't really starting under Steve Bruce, not getting a game. And Eddie Howe's rejuvenated him, even after like they reportedly fell out at Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Which led to Fraser being frozen out of the Bournemouth side and leaving to come to Newcastle. And yeah, it looks like that's water under the bridge. And Ryan Fraser's enjoying his football again because he,
Because he
at Bournemouth, he
at
was a
Bournemouth.
great FPL asset like 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, he was.
He was like 5 million and he'd
And
pick up
he'd
a
pick up a
return every
return
other
every
week.
other week.
But yeah, so I've taken the
Taking the
stats from.
from.
From when they played Watford, which was the 15th of January, I believe,
January.
So the last six games, because that's generally where we've seen this change in the Newcastle side. Watford was Chris Wood's debut for Newcastle. So I thought that would probably be the best point to take stats from, rather than going over the course of the season where they've been pretty shite, to be fair. So we've taken over the course, so from the last 6 weeks, the best performing players statistically for Newcastle, which are Alan Saint-Maximin, Joe Linton. We never thought we'd be talking statistically about Joe Linton, but here we are. Joe Willock, Chris Wood, and Ryan Fraser.
I guess it's important to also add that this is just for attackers, right? Defenders, we haven't got statistics on, but we can have a separate conversation about defenders.
Yeah, I'm still not entirely sure, like, sold on Newcastle defensively, but I think attacking wise, they look a lot better. I'm not sure I'd be going out my way to bring in the Newcastle defender when we've got that value, and we know that with Chelsea, with this double coming up, people are going to be jumping on the likes of Rudiger, Reece James, Alonso again, and then you've got Cancelo, that I don't think is going to leave anyone's FPL teams. Same with TAA. So it makes it, I think, tougher to go for a good option. I think Trippier would have been the option, like someone that was on set pieces, that was picking up goals from the set pieces as well. But I can't see anyone really, apart from like Mankio when he's fit, because he generally starts and he's like 4.1, I think. But he's currently got a knock, so I'm not sure I'd be going on there. So we've gone with the attackers. Should we go from... Who do you want to talk about first?
I guess let's look at the different areas and go by the different areas and see who's best performing in those areas. That probably would be best. So who's performing best from an XG and XA point of view, and shots on target, etc. And then we can work out. I mean, it's quite clear for those that are on the watching on the YouTube who's the best performing. But I guess let's go through the stats, because even though they might be the best performing, unless you look into the detail, actually there still might be shit.
Yeah. So let's have a look at shots first of all. So we'll go with shots per 90, because Saint-Maximin had been injured for a couple of weeks, but we do expect him to be back ahead of double game week 28. So we'll go shots per 90. Saint-Maximin 1.77 shots per 90. Joe Linton 2.02 per 90. Chris Wood 2.33 per 90. Ryan Fraser 1.98 per 90. But Joe Willock on 3.09 per 90, miles ahead of everyone else, really. Surprised that, Chris Wood at 2.33 per 90. He's the only player out of these five to have played every minute of the last six games as well. He's still putting the shots out there, but he's got a shot on target accuracy of 21%, which is a bit disappointing, really. For a centre forward. Shots on target per 90, Saint-Maximin 1.01, so 57% of his shots are on target, which is a huge plus for him. You've got Joe Linton 0.55, so only 27% for him. Joe Willock 0.82 per 90, so 27% for him. Chris Wood 0.5 per 90, so 21% for him. Ryan Fraser 0.36 per 90 shots on target, so only 18% for him. Like, yeah, Joe Willock just stands out like a sore thumb, I think. Three shots per 90. Yeah, the only one in four of them are hitting the target, but he's taking the shots. And we've seen the last couple of weeks that he is hitting the target and they're going in. And we know that towards the end of last season, like, we went 8 games on the trot, I think, where he scored. So we know he's got the pedigree.
Who's going to be on pens for Newcastle? Do you know who will be in pens? Will it be Chris Wood, probably? Or
I think it's Saint-Maximin, isn't it? It's Wilson, but Wilson's out till the end of the season, more or less. So it'll be Saint-Maximin. Then if Saint-Maximin isn't there, then I'd imagine Chris Wood. Yeah, you couldn't imagine.
Okay. I thought maybe Shelvey, or potentially Shelvey.
Or Shelvey, yeah. It's like, well, Shelvey now, like, we know that he's on most free kicks. Yeah, he was before. And yeah, Trippier obviously took him off him, but he doesn't offer much else apart from the set pieces. So that's why I didn't include Shelvey in this. So, yeah, I think, yeah, Willock, especially the fact he's a mid, he's only 5.7 million. It's only 1.5% owned at the moment, so he's a massive differential. I mean, they're all differentials apart from Saint-Maximin, like 0.7% for Joe Lynch. Like, this was all taken yesterday. I don't expect it would have changed much since. 1.5% for Joe Lynch and 1.8% for Chris Wood and 0.4% for Fraser. Like, these are crazy differentials that, yeah, if you pick a couple of them up, and like I said a few minutes ago, they're automatically picking up 4 extra points than everyone else in the next 2 game weeks. It's just picking the one that is going to then return as well.
From an XG and XA point of view, then, who's looking best on there?
So, again, we'll go per 90. Non-penalty XG. Saint-Maximin, 0.15 per 90. Fraser, 0.18 per 90. Joel Linton, 0.22 per 90. Wood, 0.27 per 90. And then Willock, 0.31 per 90. But then again, he is taking the most shots, so you'd expect his XG to be higher than everyone else's. Then XA per 90. Joe Linton, 0.02, which is pretty horrendous. 0.04 for Willock, 0.05 for Wood, 0.2 for Saint-Maximin, and 0.22 for Fraser, which... 0.22, like, they're really good at, I think, XA per 90, considering like generally that's a higher level of creativity. Like, you see a lot of players on 0.1 and 0.15, and they're hitting 0.2, which is reasonably good per 90.
I think overall, though, the worry here, isn't it, is when you have a look at the actual numbers of goals and assists, you know, over the last 6, you've got Saint-Maximin 1, Joe Linton 1 goal, Willock 2 goals, Wood no goals, no assists, and Fraser 1 goal, 1 assist. It's a bit worrying, right, that no one's kind of got, like, you know, 3 goals, 1 assist, or, you know, 4 assists, no goals, or something like that, you know, and it almost feels like these underlying numbers per 90 are very similar, you know, like Fraser's 0.22 and Willock is at 0.14. Like, it's not massive numbers, and there's not a lot to be different. It almost feels like one game can change that whole picture of what it looks like, you know, overall. Fraser's coming up on top of all the stats, closely followed behind by Willock, which gives the impression that these two are probably the best options to go for. And they were probably the two that I was looking at before you looked at these stats, right? So, yeah, you know, just from an eye test point of view, are probably the two that were in people's minds.
In those 6 games, like, Fraser's probably been the most consistent. Like, Willock in the last 2 games, he's bumped those stats because he's grabbed the 2 goals. He scored more
points.
Like his FPL points, he's got 29 in the last six. Fraser's got 30. But what? Like probably around
probably
20,
around
of, 20 them
of them
have come from the last two games. Maybe even
maybe
more.
Even more.
So, yeah, he's performed a lot better in their last two. Yeah, it's whether he can recapture that form. He might have recaptured that form. I mean, they do look a better side, and they seem to look better week by week, which I think they're a better team now than the one that played Watford six weeks ago. They're better team now than the one that played three weeks ago. I've forgotten who they played against, but when they lost, it was a bit of a disappointing result, and it was just like they're just a better team. They make more chances. Villa, that was it. They're a better team.
Sorry, they beat Villa, didn't they? They beat Villa and then lost to someone.
They're much better team now. They seem a lot more creative. I think Wood, his role in that team isn't to score goals. It's to get the ball into his feet and let the likes of Fraser, Saint-Maximin, Joe Linton, Willock, these other players that seem like they're more of a threat, threaten the goal.
I can tell you from my experience. So obviously I went to the Newcastle West Ham game and we drew 1-1. And after that game, I said straight away, Willock's the one to go for. Like he, from an eye test point of view, from what I saw, he was the one that was kind of like running through, bombing up, making space, trying to get in behind. And it felt like he was the most active in that side. I didn't watch the highlights from the weekend, so I don't know how he did. I know he scored a goal over the weekend, but I don't know, what his play was like. But I think Willock's the one to go for. Fraser was tipped up by James from Planet FPL. He really likes him. From an eye test point of view, the stats kind of back that up as well. For me, I think it's just a 50-50. They're both similarly owned, both with it under 2%, both similarly priced. I think Willock's, 5.7 and Fraser's 5.3. I think it's a 50-50 call. I think it's one of those ones you could go for either one or the other, and it's kind of...
It might depend on what you want to do in the rest of your team, but it seems to me like a lot of people are going to have Jacob Ramsey because he's like the budget of budget midfielders at the moment. But then if you go with one of these as well, then that maybe enables you to go with a back four of Thierry, Cancelo, Reece James and Rudiger over the next few weeks, which I think is like that seems like the best back four at the moment. If Reece James has come back, like he came on, didn't he, yesterday?
The last half an hour plus.
Yeah.
Plus the extra time.
Yeah, if he's come through an hour of football there. If Tuchel thinks, let's throw him in against Burnley, give him another hour against Burnley, and then a full 90 against Norwich, maybe. But then they've got other big games in Europe coming up, etc. So, yeah, maybe his minutes do get managed. Willocks and your Frasers, that could be your way in to being able to afford that premium defence, which looks like it could be coming back into fashion, like it was back in towards the start of the season.
Defensive point of view.
What do you mean from a defensive point of view?
Newcastle, is there anything that you'd be looking at from a defensive point of view? Newcastle,
not really.
A couple of people have mentioned Shaw or Target.
I'm not sold on them defensively. I You still think they're going to concede? Like, I think if I was bringing, I'm not going to be bringing in a Newcastle defender when there's other defenders that I'd start over them every week.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've rattled off four. You could throw in the likes of Livramento and Walker Peters from Southampton, performed very well. You'd start them over a Newcastle defender most weeks anyway, as well. Southampton look a lot more solid defensively than they have historically.
Chuck a name out there. For those that are wildcarding this week, I think the Dubravka at 4.4 is not a bad shout.
If you wanted to go in defensively for Newcastle, Dubravka, you've got the extra fixtures. He does pick up the save points. I don't think it's the same case as with Pope that. If they do keep a clean sheet, that he pulls. I think if they keep a clean sheet, he'll just come away with six or seven points. Because I think they've got players at the other end that will steal the sort of the BPS points, stop him from getting any other bonuses really. I think Dubravka is an option. You could go like super cheap and Dubravka, Foster as your two, and you've spent 8.5 million on your two goalkeepers, which is ideal, isn't it really?
Indeed. Right, I think that's enough Newcastle chat. Let's have a look then at the other teams to look at for the next game week. So we've spoke a bit about Southampton. Southampton have got a good double. Wolves look to have the best double on paper. I know you've got Villa up on your fixture ticket as having better fixtures. Wolves have got two home fixtures against Palace and Watford, right? And those that are on wildcard 26 probably have triple Wolves. Any point looking at Wolves now for those buying now?
Right. Do you want to know something interesting about Wolves from their last six games?
They've kept one clean sheet.
So from their last six games, their XG 10.9, their XGC 5.9. They're the second worst team in the league from the last six games.
Shit, really? I didn't realise it was bad as that. Fucking hell.
The only team worse than them is Norwich. That's how wow. bad it is. I'm not sure. I'd be touching any Wolves at the moment.
I did not know it was that bad.
I'm even looking at my move for Jimenez and going, ooh, that doesn't feel very nice at the moment. Wolves are right down there at the moment. Newcastle, on the other hand, are actually the fifth best team in the last six in my XG tables. Man United top of it, but they can't finish their dinner. So I'm not too sold on Wolves at the moment, and that's probably why, like, they've got this great combination of fixtures, but it's only rated a 24 on my fixture ticker. Villa have got the better double. Like Chelsea, if it does happen, we'll have a miles better double. I'd say Southampton probably defensively have got the better double. Maybe not attacking wise. I think if you've got Broya, I think that's enough. If you haven't got Broya, then Ward-Prowse, Ayunusi, Adams also have a good options, I think, for them. But I wouldn't be going piling into Southampton. They don't look like a team that's going to go and bang four or five past someone at any given time. And Leeds, I think, with their double. Which is it's annoying, really. That Yeah, Bielsa got sacked this week rather than maybe a couple of weeks ago. Because I'd have liked to have seen a bit of Leeds under a new management before going into a double where they played Leicester and Villa, and then coming out of the other side of that double with a home fixture to Norwich. I think, yeah, with a bit of information about a new manager coming in, we could then decide, oh, do I go with Rafinha? Is Rodrigo actually an option, etc.? But yeah, there's not enough information really to back into them. I think if you've got Rafinha, you keep him and you start him in the double in 29. But I don't think you go out to buy him when there's other players that we've seen performing better week in, week out recently.
Okay, so a few questions then before we kind of move away from game week 28 and apart from like who to buy, etc., we'll look at captaincy. I think there's a few things unanswered with regards to game week 28 that people are talking about on Twitter. And I guess the first thing is a lot of people wildcard in 26. So they will have been set up for this double. A lot of them have ready to bench boost. Obviously, I've already used my bench boost, so I'm not able to use my bench boost, although my bench is very strong. So for those that are not bench boosting, are there any players that are worth bringing in for a doubler already playing? So for the likes of, for example, I don't have any Newcastle in my side. Would it be worth taking out any? Or question number two, or like slash two, is it worth taking out any players that are playing next week for doublers this week? So for Saka, for Willock, for example, Saka's got a single this week, but is on my bench, but has a double next week. Robertson, for example, is it worth bringing in Rudiger for Robertson, but Robertson has a double next week?
I mean, if we look at, say, Saka, for example, this week, he's got that Watford fixture away in 28, and then he's got the double in 29. And it looks like I've lost Cham, but I'm going to keep talking and see if he comes back.
You've lost me. Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, yeah, I'm back. You're back now.
Did you hear my question?
Yeah. Saka's got this fixture in 28 against Watford away, and then he's got the double in 29. So I don't think I'd be moving Saka out this week. Because we saw that United did pepper them on Saturday, and I think on another team that's on form and able to hit the back of the net goes and scores four or five goals, which if that's Arsenal, Saka's going to be involved in two or three of them, isn't he?
But just quickly, sorry, Rob, I don't know if you heard, but Saka's going to be on my bench. So either way, he won't be playing this week.
Well, sucks for you then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you're not bench boosting that, but so who are you going with over Saka?
Robertson probably, or I'm likely to bring in Willock, Fraser or Mount for Bowen. They will then start ahead of Robertson. So my bench would be Robertson, Saka, Tierney.
So it would be the bench boost, wouldn't it? For you, that would have been a bench boost, and there'd be a lot of people out there that with a bench that looks like that this week, I'd throw out a bench boost on that. Watford don't look like scoring. Arsenal look a lot better defensively. And Robertson, isn't he? He could come away with a clean sheet and an assist against West Ham. But I like to see you're backing a team and you're benching him. I like to see that.
Do you think it's not worth bringing in like the likes of Willock or Mount or Fraser?
I think
or
if I
Bowen
if I
then and
If it means benching
And
Saka.
then benching Saka or Robertson. Yeah.
I think I'd be ha I'd happily I think I'd bench Robertson, but I'm not sure I'd be happy to bench Saka over a doubler, like bringing,
Okay.
because you take you're probably taking a hit then, aren't you, as well?
No, no hit. No hit.
How are you
No
making
hit.
two moves?
That would be my free transfer.
Oh, just one free
No,
transfer.
that would be my one transfer. So my one transfer would be Bowen to Willock or Mount or Fraser.
Yeah.
And if I do that move, that person will then start ahead of Robertson. And my bench will then be Robertson, Saka, Tierney.
It's tricky, and then it leaves you with a benching headache next week as well, doesn't it?
No, not really. Next week's all right. Next week's fine.
Next week's all right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I'm not sure because Arsenal could go. They could just go ballistic, couldn't they,
Ballistic, couldn't
against
they, against
Watford?
Watford?
Like,
Like,
Watford were
what?
very lucky not to. Like, it was a great performance by Ben Foster to keep the score at 0-0 because, yeah, another day when United have their shooting boots on or he has an off day, it's 4 or 5. So, yeah, I'd be worried
I'd be
about
worried
benching
about benching
Saka this
Saka
week.
this week.
Like the way that he's performing.
I guess the other question then, is it worth taking out any players who are doubling next week?
I think it
I think it
depends
depends
who, who you're getting rid
who are
of.
doubling next week. Arsenal or Liverpool?
No, I wouldn't get rid of any Arsenal or
Arsenal or
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yeah, Arsenal have got, they've got Leicester at home, Liverpool at home, but you'd expect them to score against Leicester and do something against Leicester. I think, yeah, and then Liverpool's Liverpool, isn't it?
Liverpool, net.
I think
I
if I
think
was
if I
getting rid
was
of
getting,
anyone, if I had
if I had,
TAA, I would maybe consider coming off Robertson. Yeah, Robertson to
Robertson to
a Chelsea defender is
Rudiger.
an easy move, isn't it? Yeah, well,
Oh,
Robertson
well,
to
Robertson
Rudiger.
to Rudiger.
I
It's
think
easy.
that's an
I think
easy
it's an
move to
easy
make,
move.
isn't it? Really.
But then next week I've only got two Liverpool.
Do a hokey cokey.
Yeah,
Jump back again.
possibly. And then I guess the final question, for those, and I think you're in the similar situation, Rob, is when to wild card in terms of if you're looking at that side, is it how many doublers you've got this week? Is it who you've got? There was a question in the chat earlier that they said that they've got no Chelsea, no Newcastle, one Villa, no Wolves. Should I wild card? They've only got two doublers, which are Watkins and Dennis. So if you're kind of looking at two, three, four doublers, I know you're looking at wild card this week. At what point do you kind of trigger that wild card?
So yeah, this, I mean, let's run through my team at the moment. So
So
this is like
this is
my
like
bus
my
team
bus
for the
team for the
week.
week.
Yeah, Foster in goal. I've got Davies starting, TAA, Cancelo, both starting, Jacob Ramsey, Saka, Bruno, and Salah captain this week.
This
And
week,
Jimenez, Dennis, and King with a
King
bench
were
of
benching.
Gaeta, Bowen, Varane, and Soufal. My current thoughts are I could either do Soufal to Rudiger as a just one free transfer, bench Davies,
Davies
and that is my game week. With yeah, my
yeah, my
doublers of
doublers of
potentially
potentially
Rudiger,
Rudiger.
Ramsey, King, Dennis, and Jimenez and Foster. I'm not sure
I'm
I'm
not sure
happy
I'm
with that.
happy with that. I think
I think that
that
I'd be
I'd be
struggling.
struggling.
And I my main
My main
problem is
problem is I'd
I don't want to be part. I don't really don't fancy Bruno. Like last season, I fancied him against City, and he came out with a goal and an assist, which yeah, it worked out. And I fancied him against City. I don't fancy him against City this season. So yeah, I'm just I feel like I could use this opportunity to wild card and then. build a team that I could either bench boost next week, or we know I'll know by Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Double game week we could be looking at in 36. And then I could use that information to then build a plan towards a bench boost in 36. I'm probably 60-40 in favour of wildcarding, but I think it's all down to results in the cup this week. I just don't. King and Dennis, I could easily have a Willock instead of a Bruno. I could have that then gives me a Rudiger instead of a Davies, a Reece James instead of a Soufal, a Mount instead of a Bowen. And then that just makes me feel a lot more comfortable going into this double. I think 60-40 in favour. I don't think it's the number of doublers. I think it's the quality of doublers. Like Foster, Dennis, King, like Ramsey. I think it's all right. Jimenez, I think is okay. None of which I'd say a captain shout. Out of them, I think if I did my free transfer, Soufal to Rudiger, Rudiger's going to be the captain. I'm just not sold on the rest of them. King, Dennis, it's just been impossible to get away from them since the last double where they fucked everyone over. I'm not sure I want to go through that again. Dennis could probably stay, but one of them would probably stay this week, but I don't think I'd have both of them. Moving into this double game week.
Okay, and that moves us on to the final thing that we're going to talk about, which is captaincy. And it feels like captaincy this week is pretty much a lottery, to be honest. I don't really think there's any standouts. You've obviously got Salah at home to the massive West Ham single fixture. But then you've got the doublers alike of Coutinho. A lot of people, if Chelsea get a double, you've got Rudiger, you've got Mount, Rafinha, Broya. I think there isn't a clear standout, to be honest with you. I'm not really sure that there's an obvious captaincy choice.
I think it
feels like it's punt territory.
I think if the Chelsea double does happen, it's a Chelsea asset. And then it's depending where you fancy throwing it. I think you could lock in a defender for two clean sheets.
So the thing is that the disadvantage for wildcarders in 26 is very difficult to bring in a defender. So I've explained to you my situation. The only way that I'd be able to bring in Rudiger is losing for Robertson, but then that means for next week I've got one player less for Liverpool. So for wildcard, for people that wildcard in 26, it's kind of difficult to be able to do that. For me, I'm currently looking, before this conversation, I was looking at Sice, but now you've told me they're the second worst team in the league. Goals conceded. I'm just like, no, probably not. So I'm actually thinking to go with Rafinha at this present time.
Wolves in actual stats, like Wolves were only the 9th worst team in the league. They're the 9th best team in the league, or 11th worst, yeah. They've scored 7, conceded 6 in the last 6. It doesn't fill me with confidence. With Sice, though, we know that there were stages at some points of the season where he was the one taking the most shots in the team. I don't fancy him for two clean sheets. I think they'll concede at least in one of those games. And I just don't fancy them for the defenders for attacking returns. I'm not too sold on captaining a Wolves player. So, like, I think I was thinking 2 weeks ago. I was Chelsea thinking, effort. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I think I wouldn't have hesitated to stick the captaincy on Jimenez this week. But I think seeing the way they played Arsenal on Thursday, and then Jimenez getting dropped as well at the weekend, it just it makes me think twice. I think about them. I'm glad I've only got one, and there's a lot of wildcarders out there that have two, three Wolves players because they looked good two weeks ago.
I've got three. Okay, so I think that's everything covered. Before we wrap up, Rob, is there anything else to discuss?
No, just do the quick run through of the mini league to see who's up there.
Go for it.
From the mini league. So in 10th, back into the top 10 is Tom Glover. He's on 55 points. So I'm going to assume all of these are free hits. Scott in 9th on 50 with 54 points. Paul Welsh down to 8th. Also with 54. Shrirag down to 7th with 56. Pontus back up to 6th with 58 points. Jatin Malik flown into the top 10 with 73 points at the moment this week. Matthias Bjerg on 54 points down to 4th. Avzal Razic up to 3rd with 59 points. Patricia Hart still 2nd with 52 points. And James Twiddy, I had a quick look at his overall. He's currently 222nd in the world, 46 points at the moment this week, still leading the way. So still 10 weeks to go. Like, he's only 80 points in front of Patricia in second. But yeah, if I can catch the 100 points to you, then Patricia can catch the 80 points to James. There you go.
Nice stuff. Right. Thanks all for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter at @FPL_happy hour. We're also on Spotify and a number of other podcasts, and on our YouTube channel, FPL Happy Hour. Please like, subscribe, and share, and all your retweets are appreciated as always. Until next week, have a great week. Take care.
Cheers, guys.